You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
Okay, my name is Don Nelsop, and I'm coming to you from Urbana, Illinois. Welcome to the show. This is show number 34, and we got C. Luke coming to you from Chicago. C. Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Tom. How you doing?
Getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Us too. Yeah, up here. Yeah. Happy anniversary. 1 year anniversary of podcast.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. Yesterday was the first anniversary.
You told me to, didn't you? No, you didn't.
The Baseball Zealot Radio. We had it was Ted. Teddy Ballgame, he was, we had him on for, he was down in Arizona. We interviewed him, from the Arizona Fall League. He gave us a little bit of interview. That was 1 year ago yesterday. And, thank you for, bringing that up. But, yeah, 1 year and 34 episodes.
There you go. See, that's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, I was shooting for one episode a week, and, well, we didn't quite do that, but, you know, it's not too bad. I think we did all right, and I think we got some good content and some interesting conversations, and I think we got some pretty good interviews throughout the year. We got some players, some college and minor league players, and some coaches at the college level, and some, you know, journalists and some bloggers, and I think it's been kind of interesting to hear people talk from different parts of the baseball world. So, yeah.
Maybe we should even expand our horizons and go overseas.
There.
That, well.
Who knows? Yeah, because definitely got that going on now.
Yeah. We haven't talked too much about Japanese baseball.
No, we haven't. Not a whole lot. But you know, now with more and more Japanese players coming over from, over there, it's definitely becoming more of an issue. With Okajima and the new
Fuka
guy.
Tome.
Said the guy with the bad word in his
name. Did I say it right? 82A at the Chicago Sun-Times for today, which is Sunday, November 18th, had a nice full-page article on focusing on Fuka Tome,
huh?
Who was a rumored interest, of course, from the Cubs, but I don't think it's limited to the Cubs.
Right.
But some people compare him to our friend Ichiro, but I do not know. He hit, he has won two batting titles, has twice hit over 340.
Okay.
And has a 305 lifetime average. 206, he hit 351 with 31 homers and 104 RBIs, and he's 30 years old.
So he's got the power too then, huh?
Yeah, the quote from, I think it was from Orestes Estrade, an ESPN analyst and former Japanese player. He's a little like Hideki Matsui, a left-handed hitting guy with pop. Estrade said he could hit 20 home runs and get some timely RBI. He also reminds me of Tampa Bay Rays third baseman Akinori Iwamura, because he's a very engaging player who is exciting and fun to watch.
Okay.
But here's the part for Cub fans that you might not like. He goes on to say he reminds Estrade of another player as well, Jack Jones, the former Cubs outfielder. And he says while he struggled during his 2 years in Chicago, he had a few excellent seasons with the Minnesota Twins before joining the Cubs.
Right.
Fuka Tome is very comparable to a Jones who was an all-star for a while.
Right.
Was Jack Jones an all-star? I don't really remember that. But
and he may have been. And for the record, I kind of do like Jack Jones. I think, look at his record, you know, the second half of this year, he really came on at the end. So
I think it's one of the reasons the Cubs made the playoffs.
Jack Jones haters on the Cub Nation.
Okay. There's a lot of up in the media up here that were on Jack Jones. But
I know.
But there was a few supporters, too.
Right.
I think, personally, he was one of the guys that... Well, he's one reason I think they made the playoffs, I think. He really did good for it.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. Right. But one of the things we can link to, I'm just looking, the article refers to JapanBall.com.
Okay.
Website. It's, you know, not the all the bells and whistles, but it does have the essential stats. Fact,
I think
I'm looking
run
at
across that once in a while.
Looking at Pacific League, I didn't realize, for example, just Tuffy Rhodes is still on the Buffaloes at 42 homers and 96 RBIs, former Cub.
Okay.
Tuffy Rhodes.
Yeah, I remember hearing that, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, and some other names that I don't see Fuka Tome among the league leaders, unless maybe I'm not looking close enough. I don't think I do. So,
yeah, I've heard his name, and he definitely is on the watch list. I mean, so we will.
That'd be for right field or for center for the Cubs, would you think?
Well, I mean, I would assume right field. Left field's taken, and it was they're gearing PA up for center field, I think, for next year. I listened to a podcast with basically Pinella's, or as they say, Skipper Lou's podcast, where they basically interviewed Lou Pinella for the whole podcast, and they basically said that PA is ready, and except for they're basically working on his hitting a little bit, and that's the one thing he needs a little bit of work on, and hopefully they'll be able to work on that over, you know, winter ball or spring training a little bit. And once they get that worked on a little bit, I think he might be ready for to play center field. He's obviously got the defensive tools and the speed. So,
I don't know if we heard, I'm sorry, in a Teddy ball game didn't make it, I'm switching gears a little bit. He did make a trek again out to the fall league.
Oh, he did. We got a little bit of interview out of him. I guess it was the last interview. We got him talking a little bit, about what he saw and what some of the players that, he thought were, people we should keep an eye on.
Baseball in the air, nothing like baseball when temperature gets a little colder now.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why you go down to Arizona. He's actually thinking about going down to the winter leagues. Puerto Rico.
That'd be an interesting trek. We were trying to find, and if anybody out there knows of a website, I think we had trouble last year trying to find a website that would give us all the goings on.
Yeah, I have to try searching for one again this year to see if there was one actually that there is. Because you're right, there is not a lot of information out there. I think Major League Baseball, MLB.com, is doing a better job of incorporating in their own website. They have a winter league section on their website. So I'm going to check that out, maybe report back maybe in the next show on that. So.
And kudos to Baseball Weekly. I just noticed the newsstand, and I picked it up. I don't think I told you this one. They had a kind of like a season review issue. I don't know if it just came out this week. It's dated like November, December.
Right.
And it's got all stats for all teams, including games played for all you fantasy baseball fans.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I'm included in Apple fans.
Oh, sure.
And then a nice little rundown on all the teams. And then they graded the off seasons for the last 3 years. Of every team, so they gave him a letter grade.
There you go. Yeah, sure.
So that's something to pick up if you guys are hungry for a little baseball news in the off season, which I know we always are.
So you've been following the baseball awards?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
What's your take on the Gold Glove awards? Anything award that sticks out that you think maybe should
well,
not?
Well, you know, tell the truth, I didn't hear them all, but of course I heard the one that I'm sure raised the eyebrows, which was David Wright at third base. I didn't really see his stats. I just know his reputation is not one of a stellar glove man. But I didn't see his stats. Did you happen to look at his numbers? I don't know if they're even
looking
at that now.
All I know is I saw a blog posting that was put out by I can't remember the name of the Nationals blog site, but I have it on the Baseball Zealot site. He was very irritated that Ryan Zimmerman did not get the Gold Glove, but he was comparing all the fielding stats between Zimmerman and Wright. And yes, Zimmerman did have more errors than Wright, but every other stat, on the more, comprehensive, more complicated stats, were in Zimmerman's favor. And he was, adamant that Zimmerman should have gotten a Gold Glove.
Yeah, well, from the Nationals blog, though, that's a little biased there, but,
I'm sure he'd be the first one to tell you that he's biased, sure, but.
Oh, yeah.
But, from his point of view.
Well, I see, Greg Maddux had a noteworthy achievement passing, I guess, both Brooks Robinson and Jim Cott.
Yeah.
His 17th Gold Glove.
Yeah, our buddy Brando and I were talking about that last night, and we were just wondering, here's a, how old is he, 30?
I'm 40, 40, 40, 41 or 40, 41. I think.
I mean, is he truly the best fielding pitcher in the National League right now? I mean, how important is that right now? I mean, in reality.
I think he's still pretty good, but I'm sure it's reputation, like all everything else is, you know.
Right.
So that you get, once you get stuck with the Gold Glove, which is not a bad thing to be stuck with, but you tend to keep getting it.
I think the second most controversial one in the National League, at least, I think was the one for catcher. And I tend to agree with what I think for the most part, with Russell Martin, or I should say I don't agree with the contention that the idea of Molina should have gotten it. For the main reason that I don't think he played enough games to get the Gold Glove. I mean, I don't doubt that Yadier Molina is probably a better fielding catcher. I just don't think he played a good enough sample of games this year to warrant it.
You're saying you disagree, or you? I mean, I'm sorry, you think that?
I disagree that Yadier Molina should have gotten it instead of Martin.
Okay.
I don't know. I honestly don't know if Martin.
So you think Martin? You're glad Martin got
good.
It. Yeah.
I haven't seen that many Dodger games, but I just don't think someone who played 107 games, is that how many he played? I think it was like around 107 games. Not that many games.
Yeah. Well, now, how many did Orlando Hudson play? He won it also.
He didn't.
He only missed like September,
that, I think.
Okay. And Andrew Jones won his 10th consecutive.
I think it was,
Something like that. Yeah, I think, looking at the American League list, I guess Youkilis is a newcomer at first base, but from all accounts, he had a tremendous year.
From what I heard, he was very good.
Right. The Greek god of walks, who's actually a Jewish baseball player, so kudos to them, but that was described in Moneyball, but he's supposed to have a great glove.
Oh, yeah.
Adrian Beltre can't beat that.
No.
Orlando Cabrera, not one of my favorites. I don't know why. Just don't like the guy.
Yeah,
Corey Hunter.
But I don't know if he can.
No, I don't like about Orlando Cabrera. Plain and simple, Tom. The dirty helmet. The dirty helmet. I don't know where that phenomenon started. I know I'm old school, but can't we see the logo on the helmet? He's not the only one.
Oh no, he's not the only one. No.
Now you got Jimmy Rollins. It's short in the National League. I disagree with that. I think it should have been Pulowitzki.
And you're not the only one that I've heard that from either.
That's what I say. Look at that one. I think American League, I'm thinking, Von Rodriguez, you usually can't go wrong with that. Although, I'm trying to think, Polanco at second. Can't go wrong with that. I don't think. Beltre at third. I think that's probably, none of these really surprised me. I don't know if Cabrera was a first-time winner, though. I did not know that.
For the most part, in the Gold Glove Awards, with the exception of maybe Wright and you may not like this. I'm going to say this, but Jeff Francoeur. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant on that one.
Who would you say is a better right fielder than him?
Who?
Yeah.
I mean, you have Francoeur in your appetites. He probably
he's got a great arm. He's
got a great arm. I know that. But is he a better all around fielder than some of the other ones out there? And I'm trying to think of who could have been in his place. I don't know.
Don't say Jack Jones.
Don't
say Jack Jones.
Don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have to think about it. He had a pretty good defensive year from all accounts.
Right.
So I don't know. Aaron Rowan is one that'll get Teddy Ballgame probably spinning. Never thought he was a great defense. The thing about Rowan is he gives you 100%.
He's
giving you everything. I don't think he's the most fluid outfielder, but he's very solid. I don't know if he's still one of the elite guys, but he's very solid.
Right.
We haven't heard that rumor. The rumor over here in Chicago is on the south side of town, even though I live on the north side, I still follow the south side. You can follow that along. We're supposed to be getting Torrey Hunter, although Sox fans supposedly pine over Aaron Rowan. And I wouldn't mind seeing Aaron back, candidly speaking. But I guess he wants bigger bucks than people thought. So Johan Santana is a Gold Glove, too. I don't know. You know, who knows how good of a fielder he is.
It's the same thing with Maddox,
Yeah.
And how is it, do you see these coaches and managers go about, you know, voting? You know, I think they get the ballot and, okay, shortstop and second baseman, even outfielders, it's kind of easy to think about who's the best, but pitcher, they go back and the file, okay, who we vote for last year? Okay, it was Maddox. Okay, we'll vote for him again, you know, unless he's dead or retired, you know, okay, we'll vote for Maddox.
It's too much work to go and figure out who's going to replace him, I think. That's pretty much what it is, you know?
Yeah, you're not going to go back into the files and look at the you know, the films.
No.
You're just going to think, okay, it's so much easier to think about, okay, it was Maddox last year, and we'll vote for Maddox again, you know?
How much has he declined? Yeah, I don't really think they look at the numbers, but maybe they do. I don't know.
I'm sure they probably look at that, too.
Yeah, I don't know if they should. So, we'll know. I don't know. What are you going to do? Yeah, well, this week we have still other awards, right? I didn't like the CC Sabathia Cy Young Award. I did not like that, but...
You're not the only person that told me that. It was our friend Papa Bunch who told us that he didn't care for the CC Sabathia Award. I didn't have a whole big problem with that. You thought Beckett should have gotten it?
Yeah, I looked at the numbers. I think because of the wins, everybody was pretty darn close. I will say that they're very close. I think Sabathia had more strikeouts than the other two. That was the only stat that he let in. I don't know. I don't know what the thought was on that.
Right.
I really don't know. And it was awfully close in the voting, I think, too, wasn't
right.
it? I think it was pretty close. So. And Lackey, you can make an argument for all three. Yeah,
I read about this on the Zealot, but I read this article, and Yahoo Sports, Tim Brown from Yahoo Sports, the article is about the CC Sabathia game, the Cy Young.
Okay.
8 fat references in the relatively short article. They're about, you know, being heavy, about being big, about being large. 8 fat references in his article about the Sabathia getting the Cy Young Award. Oh my God.
So, okay, we
get the idea. Okay, we get it. He's big, you know?
He's 19-7 with a 3.21. It's awfully close. I don't know. He had more. Yeah, I didn't care about his weight. I just,
No, I know. That's kind of my point.
But having said that, who's the other heaviest guy to win the Cy Young? I'm trying to think of some other. Did Rick Rushel ever win? I guess he did not.
He might have won one.
Might have. I don't know if he did. I have to look at. I'm trying to think who would the other guy with some girth that won the Cy Young. Let's see. Well, Randy, but not really. I mean, he's just tall.
Now,
a lot of weight.
Now everyone. I mean, there was no. It was no surprise that PV won. But what was interesting that. Webb was almost unanimous for second place vote. There was one vote, and it was for Harang for second place vote. So it was like almost like a 1-2, and then the third place vote was like split among like 4 or 5 pitchers. So that was you know, kind of unusual, I thought.
So yeah, Sabathia received 19 out of a possible 28 first place votes.
Right.
And Beckett received just 8 first place votes. Really, Lackey with only 1 was really disappointing.
Yeah,
you look at those numbers. I don't know; they're not that big of a difference. I think Lackey is his problem was notoriety. I think that's
why is that?
I just don't think he's as well known as, you know, Beckett.
Oh,
free agent signing. Yeah.
Okay, Fernando Valenzuela.
There you go. That's
a
good guy. Yeah, there you go.
He's kind of heavy.
That's good. So we'll give you that one. That doesn't.
Okay.
Well, if you go to the Bill James theory, I think it's the Bill James theory, one of his theories anyway, about the heavier pitchers don't last that long. I don't know if that's really true, though.
I haven't heard that theory.
I don't know if it's Bill's, so I don't know whether to give him credit or blame, but I know I have heard that theory that just, whatever, you start breaking down, you know, then maybe your legs get more
wear
and tear.
Well, that makes sense, I think. I wouldn't argue with it.
It makes sense, but yet I don't know if that's true. I mean, I think Rick Rushel pitched for a long time.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
40,
I love the whale.
Yeah, well, I was right, the whale. And, I don't know, what was Paul Rushel, his nickname. But Rick was had a pretty solid career.
So
did Fernando.
Yeah. The last time you and I talked on the show.
Sid Fernandez, there's another guy with
Sid Fernandez, yeah. Well, I mean, look at I just saw a picture, like, last night of Cy Young.
Wilson Alvarez. I'm sorry, I'm starting to roll now. It's starting to come to me.
Cy Young had a punch.
Well, there you go.
In older days.
There you go.
He still had it. Yeah.
Going back to my, not a pitcher, but I go back to my Appa days and even watching him in his last 4 years when he played with the White Sox, Smokey Burgess.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever read the Great American, hacking up the name, but it was basically a book about a whole bunch of baseball cards. And the authors, written in the mid-70s, and the authors basically commented on all the cards, sometimes funny, sometimes mean, but the late Smokey Burgess, they said, Smokey Burgess was fat. Not baseball fat, but fat. Like your uncle, like the bartender on the corner. But the guy could hit. He could hit a ton.
Right.
He had quite a career 300 average, but he was one of my favorite players growing up, by the way. I don't know how I got to Smokey Burgess, but I did.
No,
sorry.
That's fine.
Segwaying a little bit, but. On we go.
So the last time you and I talked, I think I can quote myself by saying that I don't see how you couldn't give Lou Piniella the National League Manager of the Year award. And I think I'll have.
Did you say that?
I said that. I'm so sorry.
When was that again? So at the end of the season.
I will have to apologize for that statement because I was totally looking through my cubby blue glasses when I said that, and I just want to totally apologize for that statement because I.
I hope I stopped you. Did I stop you on that?
No, I think you probably like. You know, slap me through the headphones on that one.
I don't think I did. I think I just let you, I think Don was on that one too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think that, Melvin was definitely the correct choice on the National League side, at least. I think that he, given what he was given, you know, he did a heck of a job with the Diamondbacks, I think.
When does that voting take place? I also heard it's right at the end of the season.
They say it's right after the season, but before.
Is it really at the end of like the wild card included? I wonder.
That's what they say.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, heck, Glenn Hurdle, you know, I guess Melvin, arguably, the stats weren't really there for Arizona. I mean, at least Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, they were really low in hitting and runs.
Right.
The offense was not there at all.
Right, and they didn't really play, I know the results don't indicate this, but they didn't really play that poorly in the NLCS either. They won an extra inning game, and things could have gone differently.
Sure.
But then Eric Wedge in the American League, correct?
Right.
I think the same goes for
him, too. They've got an excellent organization in Cleveland. From what I've heard from people that know better than I, they've got an excellent organization up and down.
Who knows better than you about organizations?
Oh, I know, seriously.
I mean, really, I thought that would... What can I say? This week, MVPs, correct?
Right.
Okay, and then right before the next
little... Would you have voted for Ryan Braun for National League Rookie of the Year?
Yeah. I think so. I was surprised.
So Braun over Pedroia then, or not, Braun over Tulowitzki then, huh?
It's a tough one. They both, it was a point in the summer where you'd think Hunter Pence would have won it hands down. I know then he got hurt.
Right.
And the Brewers stayed in. I don't know now. It's interesting. Tulowitzki's, you know what? I have to hedge my bets on that. I think Tulowitzki probably did more. Well, both of them would be, fine choices, but Tulowitzki probably playing short. Typically, the voters usually get more credence to playing shortstop than they do playing third.
Right. And he's
the middle infielders who have a big year usually get the MVP, pardon?
He's a hell of a shortstop, too, to the Whiskey.
Yeah.
That's
true.
When I'm here, I was looking up his fielding stats, and he got 11 errors over the whole year. And his range factor is pretty decent, too. So compared to the league average, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So whatever that's worth.
It's worth a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth a lot. What can I tell you? So do we know the order? Is it American League or National League first and American League, I think, is how they do it, huh?
I think they do the I'm not sure. I think it might be American League that comes first. Yeah, American
League. I know we covered it in one of the last shows we talked about.
Right.
Who we thought it was J. Earl up there was one of them.
On the 19th,
Holiday.
Tomorrow is the American League, and the day after Tuesday is the National League.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I thought they usually...
I still think that A-Rod has... is a prohibitive favorite, but in the National League is
Holiday J. Roll.
I say Rollins still.
That's what I think. I think J. Rowell should do it. If he's a Gold Glove winner and then he has those numbers on top of it, then
right.
I'd say he would be the guy.
Right.
So, you know, but we'll see. I think Holiday will certainly be up there.
Hey, we got I got an email the other day from Chuck Jacobson.
Okay.
He is the nephew of Baby Dal.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Former 1922 St. Louis Browns,
He was a center fielder, is that correct? I think he was, yeah.
That I couldn't tell you. That was one of the, was probably the second best St. Louis Browns team ever.
Yeah.
Or probably better than the 1944 team.
That's not saying a whole heck of a lot, but the Baby Dal Jacobson was, he was really a good fielder, and actually he hit like 310 for his career, I want to say, but that could be.
Did he?
Yeah. And what's interesting about Baby Dal, and I knew this before, was that for that time period, he was incredibly tall. I don't want to say like 6'3". For that time period, if you look at pictures of him, you know, you can see him towering over other players and he just happened to be that much taller than everyone else. And anyway, he just saw some articles I wrote because I am some distant relative of Baby Dal Jacobson, and I don't know how, but I just know my dad and is. And I wrote about it, and this guy wrote and said he's the nephew of Baby Dal Jacobson, and his dad actually played baseball for Northwestern.
Really?
Yeah, and it was captain of the team in 1910. And I can't be right. He says 1910, but I think that's
wow.
But I know Bill's older brother was captain of played baseball for Northwestern. Was captain of the team in 1910.
Okay.
And but he didn't play any real pro ball after he graduated. Anyway, I want to thank Chuck for emailing me. And if anyone else wants to email me, the email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. You know, send us an email. You can give us a call. Leave a voicemail, 217-883-4571. But once again, I want to thank Chuck for sending us an email. I like getting emails about Baby Dal Jacobson because he's one of my favorite old-time players to hear about. That's,
1922 Browns were a good
team. Yeah, no, yeah.
Pretty good team.
That's a pretty
good team. Unfortunately, they had the temerity of being in the league with the Yankees, who
right.
weren't too bad themselves.
I know, then. Seriously.
So, what can you do?
No,
Yankees,
I know.
What about the
Yankees? Who was
the
other
Yankees? Outfielder
that the Browns had, like, a few years later? Ken Williams, right?
Kenny Williams was also on. Who's on the 22 team? Baby Dal Jacobson, Ken Williams, and of course George Sisler.
Yeah, Sisler. Yeah.
But I read somewhere, must have been the last year. I don't know. Somebody was kind of trashing George Sisler being like one of the more overrated.
Bill James, right? Bill James.
Could have been. I don't know. Maybe it was
time.
Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been, but I don't remember where I read that. So maybe it was Bill.
He
James.
Says that. That Sisler would have hit like 260, in the 60s or 70s. You know.
Yeah, I don't know where he comes up with that.
He does. He does that a lot, though. So.
Yeah, he does.
Which
part of the game. I don't think he does that too much anymore. He seems to be pretty busy with Boston, and God
right.
bless him. It seems like he's doing a heck of a job there. Whatever he does there, you won't see what he does there.
Sure.
I don't think we hear about what he does. But.
So you follow on the Veterans Committee? How they're going to
the nominations.
They narrowed down the ballot to 20.
Narrow is kind of a relative term.
Narrowed
right?
is quite yeah. Well, they narrowed down to 10 entry ballots here, and one's managers and umpires, and one's executives, and they've got 10 entries on each ballot.
Okay.
Bowie Kuhn's on the ballot, and he never struck me as someone who I felt was someone who was worthy of the Hall of Fame. And
so is Marvin Miller, right?
Now, Marvin Miller, I would vote in a minute.
Well,
I don't know how you feel about that, but
the Hall of Fame, you know, again, we go back to what is the criteria of the Hall of Fame? Is it contributions to the game? If we take that,
right?
Certainly, he contributed to the game. Did he contribute to the betterment of the game? That's arguable. I mean, I'm not saying what's fair.
Right.
I'm not saying it's not, you know, what Marvin Miller did was certainly tip the balance, not even back to the players, so far in favor of the players, in my opinion, that,
well,
you know.
Who makes more money in baseball right now? The owners or the players?
Well, they both do. It's pretty hard for, you know, a family. I mean, you got two kids, I got three kids.
Right.
There I go again, but it's tough for a family of four or five to afford a major league game
right.
these days. And I don't think that was always the case, you know.
Right.
But, so I have, well, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying the players are hurting or anything like that. That's for sure, but I don't want to, let's not forget the owners are not, let's not forget the owners when we're talking about the balance of power here. But, so, yeah, it's definitely not, I wouldn't call it a labor strife or anything like that.
I'd say Marvin Miller was a tremendous negotiator and an astute labor organizer and no matter what, organization he was in. So I'll give you that.
That's why, if we're going to recognize executives and owners and people like Bowie Kuhn and Comiskey and all that who are owners and would sell their, you know, grandmother down the river for a dime, let's at least give one labor organizer, you know, his due, at least one, and then that would be Marvin Miller. That's
all right, we'll give him one. That's it. No more. That's it.
No more. That's it.
Well, no, Bowie Kuhn, I would give him, I tell you what, I'd give you Marvin Miller over Bowie. I don't really know what Bowie did. I mean, he put the World Series at night. The DH was on his watch. He made one of the most egregious rulings in 1976 when he ruled that Charles Finley could not sell three of his players to the Oakland A's, which to me was ludicrous. Finley wanted to sell, if you recall, I think it was Fingers, Rudy, and Vita Blue to maybe the A's, or to the Red Sox and the Yankees. I don't know who was going to get who. I think Rudy was going to the Red Sox. Rudy and Fingers, the Red Sox, Blue to the Yankees for a few million dollars, of which he promised was going to go right back into the A's system and to buy players.
Right.
He might have had the right idea because he might have kept that team afloat, and that ruling resulted in Finley losing control of the team ultimately, I believe, about 3 years later. So, anyway, but that out of those two, I would go with Marvin Miller. But there's plenty more on the ballot. Who else do we have on the ballot?
There's Walter O'Malley. There's Bob Housen, John Fetzer, Bernie Dreyfus, Buzzy Befassi, Gabe Paul. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like good old boys.
The manager's ballot is actually kind of interesting.
Good old boys club. Yeah, I did see that. I did see that. Dick Williams was on there.
Dick Williams, Whitey Herzog.
Yeah.
We had a little poll going on the baseballzealot.com, and eight managers I had, Whitey Herzog, David Johnson, Billy Martin, Gene Mock, Danny Murtaugh, Billy Southworth, and Dick Williams, they're all getting some votes except for Danny Murtaugh.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, because Danny Murtaugh had he brought the Pirates to the playoffs at least two times.
He was a skipper in 60. He was a skipper
in
71. He won two world championships and he won division in 70 and then I don't know in 72
was it
if he was there.
Too, I think.
Pardon?
Was it 79 as well?
No, that was Chuck Tanner. 79.
That's right, Tanner.
Legendary. Out of those guys you named, and that's without looking up the stats, this is from memory, which could be not the most reliable thing right now.
Yeah.
I'd almost, I hate to say it, I'd vote almost everybody in except for Gene Mock. Hate to say it.
I thought the same thing about Mock, and I looked up his stats, and he's not bad. You know, if you look at his, he's 12th in wins.
Yeah,
all
how about losses?
Does
he have a winning record as a manager? I asked that not facetiously, but he managed some pretty poor teams, the Expos and...
He's got 1,902 wins and 2,037 losses, so just barely.
Yeah. I don't think you can vote a guy in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, now what about Connie Mack? He's got a losing record.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well,
he's got a lot
point.
More wins, though.
Good point, but Connie Mack won how many world championships did Connie Mack win? He won at least half a dozen, I'll bet.
Right.
So I think for that, you know, that, and he was like the precursor of the Florida Marlins plan. He would break the guys, you know, he would win the championship, sell them off, and try to build them back up again.
Mark was in the first place twice and never won a World Series, and so I guess I see your point.
And then also, not only that, he's Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of he's a fine manager. There's plenty of guys.
Right.
You'd rather have Mock managing than a lot of guys. But he's unfortunately linked with the '64 Phillies collapse and then the '86 Angels collapse too. One strike away.
Sure. Yeah.
So that, but Billy Southworth is an interesting manager. I think he had some pretty good numbers, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I have to look at that list and I have to vote. I also thought Dick Williams was headed for the Hall of Fame until he had a little bit of unfortunate publicity a few years back. But
right.
Remember that one, right? Or no?
Who's this
now? Oh, Dick Williams.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think he was wandering out in a hotel where he shouldn't have been wandering, but allegedly. Maybe he was convicted. I don't know. Hey, I'm looking at St. Louis Browns, and I didn't realize this is the 1922 finished one game in back of the New York Yankees.
Oh, one game. Ouch.
93-61, which until, 1944, which was the Browns' only pennant winner. This team was probably a better team, at least statistically-wise.
Sure.
So they outscored their opponent. This is an amazing stat, too. The run scored was 867. Runs allowed, 643. They had a 224 run scored difference. The Yankees only scored 758 and allowed 618. They only had 140 runs scored. So I think it was a Pythagorean theory. I think the Browns were undermanaged according to that, if you believe that stat. I don't know if I do or don't.
Because that
could be misleading. You have a few blowouts and that really distorts it, But that was a good team. So sorry, I had this slip in the St. Louis Browns. I do want to vote the Hall of Fame manager's poll. I was going to mention, if Todd was here, about the Pirates' new manager, John Russell. And what I wanted to manage, what they wanted to mention.
I was hoping to talk to him about the new GM too. Did you see the article on the Zealot about, the new GM? He comes out and he talks about, Someone asked him during a Q&A about whether or not they're going to take in consideration the on base percentage for whether or not for their strategy for the next coming year. I got the quote here. It says, "We're going to utilize several objective measures of player performance to evaluate developed players. We'll rely on more traditional objective evaluations, OPS, WHIP, runs created, ERC component ERA, ground ball to flyouts ratio, strikeouts per nine innings, Ks per walks, baseball percentage, VORP." Anyway, he's writing out, he's typing this all out. It's like a written interview. Relative performance of equivalent average, equivalent. He's like a paragraph of like these baseball statistics, like. That baseball statisticians would just love. And then he goes on. And this is like, this is a baseball GM that's saying this?
That's interesting. Well, I don't know if I agree with, I mean, believe me, I love the sabermetrics as well as the next guy, but I think you don't want to go,
overboard.
Too far in the other direction, let's say.
Right, no. But it sounds really funny that he said that. It was during this written interview, like over in, it might have been MLB.com, but I got a link to it on the Zealot. It's just something you just don't expect the old school GMs ever do. Remember the old GMs. They thought you're a wimp if you took a walk. That was a sign of weakness if you took a walk.
Yeah, you can't take a walk. Come out swinging. Yeah,
come out swinging.
Well, that's what they used to say about the Dominican folks. Anybody who came from Dominican, who was it that had the famous quote, "You don't get off the island by walking."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's true. I mean, to a certain degree, I agree with that. You can't. The scouts don't notice that. I mean, scouts in every sport are always enamored and in love with the physical presence, and not always the stats. And sometimes the stats do need to be looked at, and other times they need to be ignored. I guess I don't know. But, it's interesting. I actually have John Russell's autograph, 1986 when I went to spring training in Clearwater. I don't know. It just some guy signed it and it was Russell, who was a backup catcher for the Phillies back then. Yeah.
Awesome.
But then I also got Gary Reedus, who there's a guy. You want to talk about sabermetrics?
Right.
Take a look at Gary Reedus's numbers. They were great, except he couldn't hit. He drew walks. He stole bases.
Oh, yeah.
but he couldn't hit.
He couldn't hit, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, if you're Babe Ruth, it's great to look at the walks. If you're Ted Williams, it's great to look at the walks.
Sure.
Trying to think of some other guys that walk but can't hit. I don't know. There's got to be some guys like that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Baby Dal Jacobson, I'm segueing one more time. 317 and 22.
317. Better than I thought, yeah.
And 22. That was a heck of a team. The 22.
Well, speaking
Saint
of the Hall of Fame, there's one more vote going on. The Ford Frick ballot team for the broadcasters.
Baby Dal Jacobson's buried in Kelowna, Illinois.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's around my area, where I was born.
Yeah, I know Kelowna,
yeah.
Sure.
Mr.
Michael Otis Bunch, 311 lifetime average.
Right.
Pretty fair player. Go ahead, I'm sorry to interrupt.
One thing that was kind of interesting, I thought, before we even get into the issue of the Ford Frick Award, was that in the MLB.com article I read about the Ford Frick Award, they had a paragraph that said, each award winner, not to be confused with an inductee, and they went on. Which I think it's high time they did that. Because so many times I've seen, like, okay, Harry Carey, Hall of Fame inductee, Harry Carey was inducted in the Hall of Fame, you know, whatever year it was. Like, and so many times whenever, you know, a broadcaster gets a Ford Frick Award, they refer to him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, where he's getting into the Hall of Fame this year,
Like that distinction?
What's that?
You like that distinction?
I like the fact they're finally making a distinction that, no, he's not getting into the Hall of Fame, he's not going to get a plaque, and they never were putting him into the actual hall in the baseball museum.
Well, what is that? You've been there, and I haven't. So,
in the Hall of Fame.
No, Harry, but I think there is a spot for broadcasters, and maybe they should.
And that's why they had the Ford Frick Award. Unless
he was voted into
a contribution to baseball that they decide they give you a plaque in the actual hall in the baseball museum that you're in the real Hall of Fame.
So, what does it say for Harry Carey if you go to Cooperstown?
You can go to the, I'm not sure where it's at, but you can see the place where they have they have a picture of it at the where they show the Frick Balding, of the Frick Award winners, the Ford Frick Award winners. But, you know, to say that whoever wins this year is in the Hall of Fame, that's not true. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He is a Ford Frick Award winner. It's fact.
I think you're talking about semantics. If you're saying he doesn't have a plaque, okay.
If, when you go to Hall of Fame, Chuck, you know what I'm talking about.
No, but is he honored by the Hall of Fame?
There is an actual hall.
I understand.
Where there are plaques. And
right.
Harry Carey and Denny Matthews and Ernie Harwell do not have their plaques up on the wall.
But should they?
Maybe they'll get their plaque, but they're not there now. They have not gotten up in front of the people at Cooperstown and gotten that plaque and said, I don't know how else to say it. They've not gotten nothing into the Hall of Fame yet. They've gotten the Ford Frick Award, but there's no other way to say it.
Well, let me ask you this. Are there broadcasters that are inducted into the Hall of Fame? As they say up here, of course, Hall of Famer Jack Brickhouse.
No, I don't think there is.
Okay.
Other than broadcasters that have been and played baseball, like Kiner.
Well, right. No,
he's
not in there for his broadcasting ability
from what I know of his
broadcasting. That's kind of unfortunate, though. I think that
I mean, I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. I'm just saying that it's a misreporting.
I tend to agree with what you're saying, but I think it would be nice to have an actual, maybe Hall of Fame wing for announcers, which is you're saying they sort of do, but
they
don't.
That's essentially what this is, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Hall of Fame sponsors the Frick Balding, Ford Frick Award Balding, which is segues into my next point, is that this year, and I'm not sure this is new or has been going on for a couple years and I have been unaware of it, but baseball fans can actually take part into the balloting. They have narrowed it down to, I'll make sure I get this right. Actually, they have not narrowed down. They have, I think it's like up to 100, at least, it seems like 100 broadcasters. Oh yeah, at least 100, oh my god. I'm looking at the ballot right now. You can vote for 3 of your favorite broadcasters, and the highest vote result getters will narrow it down to 10. And then whoever is in charge, there's a committee, I think. They will vote and then vote in. I think they vote in three.
Okay. Okay.
So I will put the link in the show notes.
So you vote early and often.
And you can vote every day.
I think I will.
I voted already. I voted for Steve Stone.
Who's out there that I would like?
And I voted for, actually, this is kind of like morbid, but I voted for Joe Nuxhall before he died. And I no particular reason. And then he died, you know, it's like, wow, you know.
I just know he's
been a very good announcer. I haven't really heard him in a long time. But then he died the other day. It's like, wow, I actually voted for him the other day. Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird.
That's right.
And then for Homer reasons, I voted for Pat Hughes, who I like
a
lot.
Pat, you gotta
I know, but I like the guy.
And see who else is in there though too. That's kind of like the old.
Yeah,
I like Pat Hughes.
I like the guy.
I don't know.
But who would you vote for, Chuck?
I have to see the list.
Well, it's basically anyone out there right now. Anyone who hasn't.
Oh, it's all current. It's all current, folks.
Or anyone in the past who hasn't gotten it, yeah.
Okay, well,
who are your favorite Hawk Harrelson?
It's tough because I don't particularly like all the Sox announcers. I would give it to, I think John Rooney would be up there.
Yeah?
Yeah, John Rooney's a very good choice. You know, but if someone comes to mind,
right.
No longer Sox broadcaster, but
right.
What can I say? You don't care for the Hawk,
huh?
Nah, not a big Hawk. I mean, I like the Hawk better than a lot of my contemporaries do, but I don't know if he
doesn't like the Hawk at all. He turns the Harrelson down.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, well, he's got some acquired taste. I think, actually, the Hawk, it goes back 20-plus years, though, when Don Drysdale and Hawk Harrelson were doing the White Sox games in the mid-'80s were pretty good.
Right.
They were pretty funny together, but, yeah, I don't know.
A lot of these broadcasters were very good at one point, and like I'll even say it like, you know, Harry Carey was really good, and I loved Harry Carey. I really did. I mean, he probably lost the last couple of years, but you know, I can't say I didn't like him. I think he was one of my favorites.
He's good for baseball.
He was
of course.
Good, yes. And I'll say it now, I remember the day he died. You remember that, Chuck?
Yeah.
Apple convention.
Schaumburg, Illinois. We were, but Harry was in, Palm Springs, I believe.
Right. We were I think it was All-Star Weekend, I think.
But I think there's a great moment.
It was in February, right?
It was. February 98, I believe.
It was draft weekend for the Apple Weekend.
That's right. Yeah. Cubs went on to be wild card champions that year.
Yeah.
I say that very facetiously because I never saw a team tout themselves as wild card champions before. But anyway.
So close out on a somber note. Joe Nuxhall passed away, 2 days ago, I guess.
Earlier last week, 14 years old. He pitched in the major leagues.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think it was 15. It's
14 or 15, that's right.
He's known for being two things, basically. He's known for being the youngest player in the majors, pitched two-thirds of an inning and didn't pitch well at all, but then he's also known for being an excellent broadcaster for the Reds during the Big Red Machine era, but he actually had a decent pitching career, too.
Oh, yeah, he came back about four or five years later,
I think. 7 years later, He was 22.
7 years later. Wasn't that long?
That's
okay.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, it is really. Between and then he probably, so that would have been 44. So he pitched a good another 13, 14
yes,
years,
did.
I think.
And
yeah.
People forget that he had a really good. He had one excellent year where he, I think he had 15 wins, and he had two some ERA. And so yeah, some people forget that. And so yeah, it's
we don't hit the zealot though.
No, we
don't.
No,
so.
We never forget stuff like that.
Kudos and congratulations to a life lived well, Joe Nuxall. So,
right,
we'll say so. That. Well, this has been fun, Tom.
Yeah, I'll let you go. You're gonna watch some NFL.
I am. We'll do it again soon and talk a little more hot stove.
Right. Let's give out the address one more time. Yeah, if you want to give us a check out our website, go to baseballzealot.com and give us a call. Our number is 217-883-4571. Send us an email. Our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. And I think that's it. Chuck, any last words?
No, I hope the Sox get Torrey Hunter when we next meet. We'll see what happens. I hear Texas wants him too, so the Hot Stove League is underway.
Yep. All right. That's it for me. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Take care,
so long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.